Darren Dreger, TSN Hockey Insider in studio. What's happening, Dregs?
It's new that I'm in studio. You know, I'm not usually in studio, but considering you guys dressed up for the occasion, I thought I'd make a special allowance.
Dude, I've been in sloth mode for a month and a half, and I'm embracing it now. We talked about it earlier. I've been wearing track pants every day for 6 weeks.
And that's new how?
Well, that's true. I mean, usually when I come to work, I'll strap on some jeans. I'm not a suit guy at work, but I'm into it, man. Yeah. I'm into it. I'm fine. I got the knee brace, and I'm walking now a little bit. I'm fine with how I look.
As long as they're not the same sweatpants.
I have two pairs of sweatpants, okay, and I rotate between the two.
Wow.
I've washed them probably once.
Wow. Now, you had knee surgery, correct?
Yep, meniscus repair.
See, I, my family, we had to make a real difficult decision. Our Shih Tzu jumped off the bed.
Ooh, that was a dicey dog name.
A breed.
Pug Shih Tzu cross.
He circles back. I like it.
Yeah. All right. Jumps off the bed. Mm-hmm. Doesn't appear injured. A couple of days later, develops a pretty nasty limp.
Uh-oh.
All right?
Bad hip.
No. Torn doggy ACL.
Wow.
They have Unfortunately, those. In yeah. my household growing up, that would have been...
Bye-bye.
Yeah.
No.
Going to live on a farm somewhere.
Yeah. Now, there was a strong recommendation to get the knee, whatever it is, repaired. Yeah.
By the way, this isn't a $10 thing.
$4,000.
$4,000 for an ACL.
See, if my mom had told my dad it's $4,000for a knee.
Are we covered at TSN for that kind of operation?
I don't know. I'm going to sound horrible here because, of course, I would have paid the $4,000 to get it fixed. However, the surgeon, he was a real honest person, said, you know what? Dog's 10 years old.
Yeah, probably.
The recovery process is probably going to be more of an issue for the dog than the actual injury is.
So the dog's gone?
No, dog's hopping around like a bunny rabbit, doesn't have a care in the world.
So rehabbing kind of on its own almost.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, you could give him a quarter.
Didn't milk it quite as much as you have, Brian. I mean, that's the point of the story.
It's a full milking.
Maybe a quarter.
A full milking. I'm really not as damaged as I've been
We
claiming.
Have to keep in mind, he grew up in Saskatchewan. Usually an injury like that, you head out to the farm.
Ask me how many dogs I had growing up.
I can imagine.
You head out to the barn.
The old 12-gauge is coming up.
It's terrible.
But it's going to feel like Saskatchewan tonight. You see this? We're bracing for like -9, -10, and snow. And
it's been -20+ in Saskatchewan for the last week and a half.
I talked to my brother today, too, in Edmonton, said it's... It's -25, I think. Something going on about -25. The wind chill, maybe.
Do those cities out there, like the western cities, Edmonton, Winnipeg, Regina?
Yeah. Calgary gets Chinooks,
maybe,
so you don't.
Maybe Calgary, but let's say Regina, Winnipeg, Edmonton. Do you guys, like, battle it out? Like, is that, like, a source of pride for you?
No. You're not wearing shorts trying to be a hero. No, I mean, it's just, for a while, for me growing up, it was you dressed for the weather, but we still found a way to go play road hockey. You still found a way to stay outside. Like, it just was a part of life.
No exposed skin, you're okay.
Yeah, it's not a badge of honor. It's just the way that you had to live. Like, if it was -25 or -28 with the wind chill and that, you know what you got? You got a ride to school instead of walking. Like, you get dropped off at school. Schools weren't closed, you had to take... Like, if it was -28 in the wind chill,
you're
here...
Making like, a rink in the backyard, that's what you're doing.
Yeah, like it wouldn't be, they would close everything down here.
I like it. Not so much here.
When I traded my first vehicle in when I moved to Toronto in 1998, I had a Ford Explorer. I traded it in, bought a Honda something or other. It didn't have a block heater.
Oh, yeah.
There was no cord out of the front of the vehicle. I took it back. I'm like, it's missing the cord. I got to plug my vehicle
in. Not here, dude.
They're looking at me going, what's wrong with
Not here, man. Yeah. We don't roll that way. I love that. Right, plugging then. Your car in to make
plug
sure
it
that
in
it
can nice
start.
Oh,
if you didn't, it wouldn't start.
I know. Darren Dreger, our hockey insider in studio. We haven't really got into Babcock's commentary post-game where he wasn't getting grilled, but he was asked about when Matthews was coming back, and he said, honest to God, I don't know. He's got to have a decent read, don't you think? I mean, doesn't
well, the
he
guy
have
the player has to go in every day and do his treatment, and then there's an update, and But he loves to separate himself like he has no idea what the trainers are thinking or what's wrong with
and
him.
And every coach does that, to be fair to him. They all play that role in every sport.
Have you noticed recently, like, everything's like, well, the sports science guys say this.
Yeah.
Sports science guys say that.
But like, he wasn't doing that last year. Remember Marner, the Marner injury? A couple times he came out and he's like, well, I think he's ready to go, but I guess he's not.
But he hired all those sports science guys.
He turned that around this year and he said, I'm not asking a guy every day because that's not fair.
But that's Matthews. Yeah. He's not asking every day.
But I was reading Matt Martin saying, you know, talking about it. We had Morgan Riley on it. He brought up the sports science guy. I mean, yeah, teams have them now. It's just, to me, I'm sure it goes a lot deeper. There's a team of doctors and scientists or whoever else they've got on. Like, I couldn't imagine, and I made a little bit of a joke with it with Morgan Riley, like having a heart rate monitor on for a practice. Like, there's times, I guarantee you, in practice, like, I consider, I worked pretty hard, and I would face a lot of shots, but there were times where I had nothing left in the tank, and I was dogging it. Can you imagine a sports science guy coming to me afterwards? He's like, you know what? You faced 480 shots today. 300 went in, and your heart rate didn't get above 82.
Your blood alcohol level.
Yeah, exactly. And we took blood afterwards, and you're not allowed to drive home. You know, like, that's... I know that's not today's landscape, but...
I saw goalie Jamie went to Vegas for the night, flew back for practice in L.A., and I'd never seen anything like it. He just stood there like a scarecrow for the whole practice.
Was his name Ed Belfour?
No, it was not. The name game on this show, but it was... Heard the guys were like, this guy needs to smarten up and like just act like you're...
Just pretend.
Fake it a little bit.
That's old school.
Now, there's nothing amusing about an injury, and certainly not when it's your best player, and Austin Matthews clearly is that. But that's the amusing part of social media for me, is seeing how the country is divided, right? So you've got people on the west side who are making fun of all of the reaction and overreaction to Austin Matthews. And then conversely, I mean, Connor McDavid goes to, I don't recall, now McDavid's injury was serious. It kept him out of the lineup for
40
you
games.
Know, he missed a good chunk of the year. I don't recall us ever having conversations in Toronto or in the media about, oh, poor Connor.
I know mocking the significance of the injury.
Like it's ridiculous.
It's a Toronto thing, man.
The gifts that are flying back out of Edmonton directed at Maple Leaf fans and Austin Matthews. You know, there was one last night that showed a candlelight vigil outside Air Canada Center because he's not playing.
Yeah.
I mean, it's amusing, but it's ridiculous.
It's so true, though. When McDavid, if he misses a shift, they're freaking out. And I understand why they would.
Oh, for sure.
But of course they should. It's McDavid.
I agree, but there is somewhat of overkill, too. Like,
but that's volume. That's because the media.
Exactly.
There's more media.
Bobby Mack took a shot at it just lightly the other day where he's like, oh, guess Austin Matthews is out for a warm-up because... His Twitter feed was Matthews out for
it's
warm-up.
A screen grab of about 17 different people.
The people that he followed.
Including his son, by the way.
Yeah, no, I know. And that's why he made light of it. But I think what it is you're looking at other markets going, like, hey, our team, for example, Montreal's won a couple in a row. Rangers, Vancouver's been great. You know, there's so many other storylines in Canada. Duchesne gets traded. And they're like, Austin Matthews is out for warm-up. We got to talk about it. Like, that's kind of, I think, where the barbs come from. But he's the best player in Toronto. Like, you have to talk about it. Like, it's just like if Connor McDavid isn't playing well or got nicked up, if he wasn't playing tonight against New Jersey, that's a big story.
Well, sure it is. Look at what's happened in Montreal. We goof about it. You know, Price, is he going to get shipped out now because Lindgren's the next Ken Dryden? But I understand why in Montreal it's a massive story. What's going on with Price? It should be. How can you not be talking about his poor play and the contract that's kicking in next year?
And we do our fair share of creating stuff. And by we, I mean the collective media. I mean, I was asked the other day something about, you know, would you trade Mitch Marner for Darnell Nurse? Or would you trade Carey Price for Freddie Anderson and Mitch Marner or something along those lines?
Were you sitting with Joe from the Bridge in that?
No, it was on radio.
Live on radio.
Yeah, but it's like you can sit in a bar and have a bunch of beers and say, would you do this and would you do that? Yeah. It's just...
Well, it is conversation. Like, it is fodder. It doesn't have to be... It doesn't have to go farther than the end of the bar or the end of that segment, but it, it does sometimes.
And what is Pierre Dorion like? He was like, well, you never know. We might need a centerman. We might need a left winger. We might need a... I don't even understand what the motivation of that is.
About Duchesne, you mean?
Well, he was like, we're happy to get Duchesne, but we're still looking.
They need more.
Oh, yeah. And he's made a point of saying that. That wasn't lip service. But I followed up, and my question is, well, how do you get more? Who are you trading? Now, Nick Paul, with all due respect, who's on the trip, he's a big center. Yeah. Might have NHL game. We haven't seen it yet, but you're not getting the pieces that he's throwing out. So.
They've got a guy named Jack Rodewald on the trip. Like they, what they have are good players, but I think they're short at least one more NHL body.
But I think they've got some pretty good prospects.
Oh. They do.
You just have to trade them.
They do.
So there's how you make it work.
But
if someone's available, clearly.
But do you want to get to the point? Do you want to empty the cupboards out if you're not 100% sure where your team's at? Like that's why we were having some fun with the Karjala Cup. Like
the what?
Karjala or whatever it is,
I love how it's our property.
Karjala?
No, not one person in the building knows.
I just said it properly.
Karjala. Is that what it is? Karjala?
Karjala.
Yeah.
But I was just checking. It is.
No good.
It's not Karjala. It's Karjala.
The hard J.
Is it?
No, it's not. He's making stuff up. What my point is there's Ted Purcell there.
Yeah.
There's Nick Spaulding. There's NHL potential bodies there. And
Gilbert Brulé.
Brulé, but maybe they're past their prime, but maybe there's guys that can help out a roster if you're hurting.
And you got to be careful if you're moving out Colin White as an example of a prospect. We talk about the Toronto Maple Leafs and what they're going to do. Auston Matthews is going to cash in, obviously, but what about Nylander? What about Marner? And go down the list. Well, Ottawa's collection of big tickets coming up is significant as well, starting, of course, with Eric Karlsson.
Right.
What's Mark Stone going to get?
Yeah, that guy's getting paid.
You know, Cody Ceci isn't that far away from needing a new deal. So, you got to be careful when you're moving out your young pieces because some of those older guys are going to have to get traded.
Yep. Yeah. No, there's no denying that. But I guess that's just always the age-old question. If you're a GM, how far are you willing to go?
Exactly.
You know, if you're speaking publicly, then we talk about a fan base's reaction. You hear that out of the GM, naturally you're going to get greedy. Okay, where are you taking this? Who are you going to trade for? Who are you kicking tires on?
Mm-hmm.
Winnipeg's got to be taking a big sigh of relief here that they've got it together. And they went
they're a good team, man.
I went from thinking Paul Maurice is going to get fired here if this garbage keeps up. I don't care if he signed an extension, but now they look like a force.
Yeah, well, I mean, go back to game one against the Leafs. It couldn't have gone worse with Steve Mason making his debut. You know, for the Jets on home ice, he was no good in that game. And
then
no
he had another stinker, and then he's like, I got to go back to him. And he had another stinker.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, true to his word, Maurice, before that opening game, I asked him how many games that, he felt Mason would end up playing as the starter. And he goes, well, I'm going to tell you he's our number one right now, but I'm not telling you the number of games because I don't know. He goes, if he gets hot, we'll ride him. If the other guy, Hellebuck, gets hot, then we'll ride him. We're not in a position as an organization to mess around. We got to win hockey games, and they've done that.
Hellebuck's the goaltender that has more upside, and he just needed to earn it. And he's been brilliant for them.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe it was in some form to sign Mason to a 2-year deal, a guy who has been a starter in the league. It was almost the fire that Hellebuck needed to, like, hey, I've got some serious competition.
Yeah, I
got
to wake up here.
I've got this is my career here. Yeah. I'm either going to turn a corner, or this guy's going to take my job, and they're going to move past me or move me out at some point because Comrie's coming. Like they've got a young goaltender in Eric Comrie as well. So it's been good, but I we joked around. Remember, I don't know, it was Jerry's percentage a while ago. Like, not just because I'm calling games. I'd like that Winnipeg team. I think they're good. And, you mentioned it a couple days ago. You thought that maybe they're a little bit like L.A. is. L.A. was a couple years back. Like, they're big, they're
big,
mean.
They're nasty, and they can score.
Play pretty much any game you want.
Yeah, they're pretty well-rounded. Now, we'll see how long and consistent they are. They still tend to get into penalty trouble sometimes, but I like that group, and they've got some great young players, just like the Leafs and just like some other teams in this league that you're watching kind of turn the corner right in front of our eyes.
Well, doesn't it seem like the team everyone's chasing right now is Tampa?
Yeah.
And last night they roll into San Jose and just spank the Sharks, and they play LA tonight, and that's going to be a great game, you would expect. But Kucherov, Stamkos, and Namestnikov each had 3 points again last night.
Yeah.
Just that line is crazy.
Well, they are. And you want to say that they're a one-line team. So if you can shut down that top line, then you're going to have success. But it's not that simple. I mean, look at Braden Point and the production he's got going on that second line. Mm-hmm. And if you want to pour your resources into trying to shut down that top line and it doesn't work and you get into the scramble mode, well, that opens things up as well. Their blue line, I mean, their top four are rock solid, and they're getting the goaltending. So I guess for me, what I'm trying to figure out is, was it all about the injuries, all about not having Stamkos last year and some others? I mean, they had a rash of injuries last year, but the difference from last year to this year is just about immeasurable.
Yeah.
By dominance, it is.
But health is a big part of that, and then guys... You're not going to have your best season every year, but all of a sudden, you know, Johnson looks really good. Like, and again, Stamkos healthy, and I was wondering, starting at the start of the season, was there going to be enough of the puck for Kucherov and Stamkos? Because both are shooters, both like to control the play, and it's almost like they've said, maybe sat down and said, "Man, I'm going to fake a shot and I'm going to find you. I'll take the assist any day." Like, both of them, that chemistry's there, and now they're just... Oh, to your point, a two-headed attack.
A two-pronged attack.
Two-pronged attack.
Wow.
I'll tell you what. I was in one of my first business meetings. I was doing something with one of my friends the other day, and we were in the business meeting. And he throws out two-pronged attack in the meeting.
How'd that go on?
I started laughing.
Who is the other prong?
It was Pat Quinn's classic line. He'd always be like, "They're going to come at us with a two-pronged attack." Everyone was like,
"What does that even mean?
What does that even mean?"
Who are the two prongs?
Yeah, what are the two prongs?
Classic.
You know, we focus so much on the money game and the cap-related stuff because that's the NHL that we currently live with. But Kucherov at $4.7 million is brilliant business. But, man, is he going to get paid. Now, he's an RFA after next year. So they got this year and next year at 4.7. That's a remarkable number.
And I'm sure they're thinking win this year or next, and then...
And I'm sure he's already told Stevie Y, if you think that Stamkos 8.5 is the limit, go ahead and throw me on the market, because that ain't going to cut it. If he keeps rolling like this and does his 2 years in a row, they're going to have to pay him $11 million or something like that.
Eiserman will pay it. He's got no choice, but he'll pay it.
Really? Well, then you're into another.
Vasilevsky's going to be up.
Well, somebody pays the price.
Everyone's got to pay the price,
right?
You know, every team in the league, it seems like now, is basically working with a two-year window.
I don't think he would pay it, Darren. I think he's just going to go to him and say, "Look, Hedman took a haircut to stay. Stammer did." Mm-hmm. Or I don't know, if you do the numbers and the taxes and
Hedman at 7.8 is a brilliant contract.
Dude, he would have been a $12 million defenseman.
He's a spectacular player.
But they could just say to him, "Do you want to continue to be a part of this group, live in Tampa Bay and win?"
As Pooley pointed out from a management position, he said, "Eiserman has done it perfect because he created a stepladder. So if you have Stamkos at top and then Hedman..."
Just like Detroit did with Lidstrom.
Exactly.
But what I'm saying is Kucherov's not going to put up with that.
No, but Kucherov goes, "Okay, yeah, I want to be at the top of that stepladder." And he can earn that because Seabrook signed more money than Keith. Mm-hmm. Keith took that deal at that time, and Seabrook said, "Great, very happy for you, Duncan. Here's the marketplace." And that's the truth. I don't think the animosity. I don't think Stevie Eiserman is going to go, or Steve Stamkos is going to go, "You know what?
Yeah,
you can't make more."
No, I don't think he will either. And let's be honest, Kucherov's an RFA, so there are limitations in terms of how much power he's going to have. But I think the bigger picture here is we've talked about three teams already: the Maple Leafs, the Senators, and Tampa, and all of them are dealing with basically a 2 year window. In 2 years, Carlson's up and Duchesne. In 2 years, the Matthews and Marner contracts kick in. In 2 years, Kucherov's up. Like, that's kind of what the league has become.
Well, and
if you're lucky, you got 2 years to pounce.
And you better be smart managing your cap, because if, you know, one or two bad contracts that you can't rinse could cost you a player that you need
big time
in your roster at that time.
Mm-hmm.
So,
well, and I mean, that's why there was a lot of debate over the Patrick Marleau signing, because, you know, it's a 3-year deal, which would leak into when Matthews and Marner kick off. But you know, he's 16, 17 games into his tenure here, and you see the way he played last night, why it made sense for them.
He doesn't look 38. He
played
great
last night.
But he's such a good player, and that's why I kind of argue against people saying, well, he's, you, and not just Marlowe, but other players that are 33, 34, 35, there's a common theme. All of them can skate because you have to keep up with the pace of the game. And Marlowe's a wily vet. He's durable.
Tremendously gifted skater.
Exactly. Still can score. Like, that's what they're looking at it and saying, yeah, maybe our analytics suggest that there will be
a bit of a drop. Yeah.
But he's a special player. You're not just dealing with an average 38-year-old person. This is a special person. Hayes, you said, he's a Hall of Famer.
Yeah, I think he is.
I think he's real close. He's going to be on the cusp. So
yeah, you can't compare him at 38 to other 38-year-olds.
Mm-hmm. He's an unfair Michael comparison. Roosevelt.
Yeah,
Michael
Roosevelt. He's a different type of player.
Right. You know, Matt Cullen's playing at 40.
He's 41. He's turned 41.
But he can skate.
He can skate.
Yeah. Cullen can skate.
So his pace is fine with the play. Now it's just about the body can hold up for 82 games plus. And
how many times do you think Babcock, maybe he won't have to, but he spools up that race with Marlowe and Spurgeon, who was the other guy, where he won the race and nullified the icing.
Yeah, in the video room, he'll play that. Yeah.
Like, I'm sorry, but if you're not going as hard as you possibly can go, mm-hmm. and you're a 20-something, have a look at that in the intermission.
Oh, that's his godfather. That's his masterpiece.
It should be.
His deer hunter. Where it's like, yeah, exactly. Hey, Mitch, come in here for a second. Yeah. You know, or whoever.
He cheated on that play. Now have a look
at
this.
Take a look at this cat who's played 1,500 games. Yep. Anyway. All right, Dregs, what do you got going on tonight?
You know what? I had a good chat with Clayton Keller last night, and that's going to be the Dregger Report tomorrow.
You think
what a good kid he is.
Front runner?
I think he's got to be. Oh, he's got double digits.
Sergachev's in there. There's a few in there, but he's got to be
Brock
the front
Besser,
runner.
Like there's Besser, Sergachev.
Yeah.
You know, there's some good young rookies, but I mean, Keller's the only shining star there.
That might be the concern for votes if he's thinking that he'll get lost in the shuffle because they're such a disaster.
Yeah, but Sergachev's playing on a top tier team, so that's going to drag him up. Yeah. Besser's.
If anyway, Besser, like, it's just like if Sergachev or Keller was in a Canadian market, it would be like no contest. Yeah. It would just be...
Yeah. You know, Babcock told me at the World Championships last year, and I mean, Clayton Keller wasn't foreign to us coming out of the draft, right? But he watched him on the other side in Germany before coming over to Paris playing for Team USA. He goes, you got to see this kid play. He is unreal. Mm-hmm. That was at the World Championships. So.
Well, yeah. He's proven
he's
people
top 10
right.
pick for a reason. Good player. All right, Dregs.
Hey, guys, thanks.
There's Darren Dreger at TSN Hockey Insider.